Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Being a Person of Influence by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Jeremiah 15 and verse 19 and New Living Translation, God says to Jeremiah, this is how the Lord responds. If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. You must influence them. Do not let them influence you. From that latter part, that last compound sentence is what we're getting our subject from. You must influence them. Do not let them influence you. We're continuing to teach on this subject, being a person of influence. Being a person of influence. Jeremiah thought his ministry wasn't being effective anymore. He thought his word wasn't being effective anymore. He felt like his ministry was on a decline. He felt he wasn't being impactful anymore. He felt like that he wasn't being innovative anymore, and that there is no revival through his ministry. And God said, here's the deal. You got to stay focused on me and not people. He said, you got to speak my words, not necessarily what they want you to say, just like he told them in the beginning. You know, I was praying recently, and the Lord said to me, he said, don't try to be like everybody else. The Lord spoke to me. He said, he reminded me. He said, when I called you, when you started this ministry, you knew I called you to be different and unique. And he said, don't start blending in now. Don't go along with the crowd. Don't go along with the fads. Be who I created you to be. And let me use you the way I want to use you. And don't try to be a carbon copy of anybody. Because the best you can be is you. Look at somebody, tell them, the best you can be is you. Amen. Not anybody else. You know, it's a whole lot of Texas. It's a whole, again, y'all know, and y'all think this is corny and stuff, but I was listening to a radio station yesterday. They got on Saturday night at 7 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock. They got something on satellite radio. I'm sure y'all be listening, called the Chairman's Hour. It's all Frank Sinatra music. Y'all wasn't listening? Oh, y'all wasn't listening. So I was singing. I told Pastor Mark, I said, I could have did this. I could have did this. She said, but you call a priest the gospel. Yeah, I said, but I could have did this. I'd be a multi-millionaire. I could have been a crooner. And so, you know, behind, I was singing along with Frank Sinatra. And then Tony Bennett, and I was singing, and as they were singing it, I was singing it right behind them. And some of the notes I wasn't quite hitting like them. Okay? It's hard to mimic other people. Okay? It takes a lot of, now you may be able to do it. It takes a whole lot of effort. It is exhausting trying to be like somebody else. Amen. It's exhausting trying to mimic somebody else. All you can be is you, and let God use you. And that's what God tells Jeremiah. And if you do this, you will influence them. Don't let them influence you. Don't become somebody and something I didn't call you, create you to be. And so we've been talking about the fact that God wants to be people of influence, which is the ability to affect other people in a positive way without stress, strain, or struggle, without force, and without pressure, because there's a concern today among the church and among Christians that we are losing our influence. And I believe one of the main reasons why, if that is true in whatever circles, that the church is losing its influence is because rather than being the light to the world, we're trying to blend into the darkness. We're turning the light down. turning the light down. And if we keep turning the light down, it's going to get darker and darker. We are the light of the world. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. He said that to his disciples. As long as I am in the world in a physical way, he said, I'm the light of the world. But he says after he leaves the earth, in the physical form, which he did over 2,000 years ago, he sent it back to the Father. He said, now you are the light of the world. And so if you don't shine, the world gets darker and darker. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are preserving it. So people said, I wish those Christians get out of here. No, you don't want us to get out of here. Because if we get up out of here, the whole thing gonna explode. We are preserving this earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. People talking about judgment hitting and all. Listen, the only reason why judgment hasn't hit is because we're here. Amen. Amen. And God will spare cities because of righteous. We know that. When he got ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham interceded. It went down from 50 down to 10. And God said, I will spare the city if you can find at least 10 righteous people. Glory to God. So God preserves because of righteous people. So we saw that Jesus was a man of influence. So much influence, they were concerned that the whole world was running after him. We saw that God warned the children of Israel not to intermarry with other people that didn't serve him. And for the whole purpose that they will turn you away from following me. He was concerned about us being too influenced by the culture, by the world, by even by people that we're dating or marry, that they turn our hearts away from God. Paul warned the church to be followers of Jesus Christ. And certain things he said, I know they're doing it out there. We understand that. But he says in Ephesians 5 and verse 3, but fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Let it not be named among God's people. The saints means God's people. Amen. Saints is not something that you become after you get a whole bunch of bishops and cardinals in the room and they look over your life and look over your report and say, well, we're going to make them a saint. No, if you ain't a saint here when you leave, we can't make you one later. Amen. So right now, the saints of God means to call that one. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're one of the saints. And then he says that there's a different lifestyle. There's different expectations that God has of us. So Paul says, I know what's going on out there, but don't let it be named among you because we are supposed to influence them. They're not supposed to influence us. We saw that the early church was a church of influence. And as a result of that, people were added to the church every day as the church began to multiply. I was meditating on something the other day. I believe I often talk about this when I talk to the deacons. I believe it's in Acts, around the sixth chapter. It says when the disciples, number of disciples begin to multiply. When the number of disciples began to multiply, they appointed deacons to help administrate over the tables and serving the people and all that. And I thought about that. It said, when the number of disciples began to multiply, on the day the church was born in Acts, the second chapter, it was 3,000. 3,000 people, at least. Now, they were spread from around the world. All of them didn't stay there in Jerusalem. But we know that the church was founded the first day as a mega church. What we would call a mega church today. And then later on it says, and when the disciples begin to multiply. Well, my goodness. My point is, it was already very large, but it still began to multiply. Y'all hearing me? In other words, God still wants to increase us more and more. How much is enough when everybody's saved? When everybody's serving the Lord. As long as there's sin is still being born in this world and Jesus has not raptured the church out of society, people still need to be getting saved. People still need to be joining our churches. People still need to be coming to the altar. Are y'all listening to me? And so God wants us to be people of influence. All of us, we've either been influenced by someone or we're influencing someone. So the question we started asking, have you been influenced positively or negatively? Because the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15 and 13, evil communication corrupts good manners. He said, who you are around, it will affect you. Stop being so naive. I think the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15, 13, be not deceived. And I always say this, the only reason why the Bible has to say don't be deceived, meaning that's an area that's easy to be deceived in. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to say, don't be deceived. It's an area where, can I tell you, the thing about deception is, deceived people don't know they're deceived because they're deceived. Did that make any sense? Deceived people don't know that they're deceived because they're deceived. Okay? Y'all ever see a woman who fell in love with a man that got no job, no teeth, and no car? But she think he the best thing since sliced bread? And you can't tell her nothing? Why? Because she's deceived. No teeth, no car, no job. You need at least one of those. Any couple, let's move on. Let's move on here. Look, somebody say, don't be deceived, don't be deceived. We left off last week with Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 7 through 10. Paul says to the church of Galatia, he said, you did run well, who did hinder you? You were doing so good. You were on the track. You had a nice pace. You were progressing spiritually. You were making strides. Things were getting better. You were starting to live more like God. More light was starting to reflect through you. You were getting discipline over your flesh. You were getting more rooted and grounded in the faith. The things you were doing that you used to do, you weren't doing them anymore, at least not as frequently. Amen. You were thinking different. You were winning people to Christ. What happened? What happened? He said, you were running the race well. Who did hinder you? So someone had negatively influenced them. Let's move on this week, because as I proceed this week, I want to first mention the difference between influence and power. Difference between influence and power. Power is the ability to get people to do things, follow you, and obey you, usually because they fear you. Or you have some type of ability to positively or negatively affect their lives because of your position or because of your money, power. We are seeing, unfortunately, in many things that are going around now in our political realm, is that there are people who are abusing power. Okay? Who want to intimidate people, even scare people. I heard a quote the other day, and I realized, I said, God going to be in this here. Somebody said, if I'm no longer in office, everybody's going to be poor. Did y'all hear that? Oh, the devil is a liar. And do y'all realize that there are people who will hear that and believe that? Hear that and be fearful. Can I tell you, you make your own way prosperous. Yeah. It ain't a matter what's happening in the White House, what's happening in your house that determine whether you're rich or poor. But and so that's someone who thinks he got the power to make people rich. Glory to God. But God wants you to know that all the gold is mine, all the silver is mine, and the Bible says that he's determined who's rich or poor. And so we got to learn to look to the hill from which cometh our help and not try to be manipulated by people's power. People doing things and following things and kissing up and because of someone's position. Power. But influence is an intangible quality that makes others want to follow you. That makes others want to be associated with you and makes others have respect for you because of the positive qualities that you exhibit in your life. So you realize you can have power and not be respected. Now, we all know that, okay? You can have power and people in your face saying, yes, sir, okay, and cussing you behind your back. That's power. But when there's influence, people want to be around you. They're not made to be around you. And they're not scared to not be around you. So if you're going to be a person of influence, you have to recognize God doesn't want you you don't need to be seeking power. You need to be seeking favor with God. if you get favor with God, he'll give you favor with man. We saw that happen in Joseph's life. We saw that happen in David's life. We saw that happen in Daniel's life. That if you get, we saw it happen ultimately in Jesus' life. If we get influence, if we get favor with God, he gives us favor with man. Say that with me. Say, if I have favor with God, he'll give me favor with man. And so a lot of people are seeking to try to have favor with man and don't think about what God thinks about you. Can I tell you, whatever you have with man can come to an end. But the Bible says, he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. There will be dividends that your children's children's children are still reaping the benefits of and living out because you have favor with God. Hallelujah. Remember, I keep telling you that God is not just interested in your generation. He wants your children's children's children to be blessed because of your influence. Now look at Proverbs 31. Because you're going to be a person of influence, you got to put your purpose and your principles above your passions. You got to put your purpose and your principles above your passion. Mother Betty once said to me, I was about 14, 15 years old. I kept saying, well, the reason why I did that was, I kept trying to explain just why I did whatever. And she, I'll never forget it. She said, never let your purpose or your passion overrule your principles. The reason I did that's the purpose. My passion. Well, I just felt like they made me so mad. That's your passion. Never let your purpose, reason why you justify and you did it, or your passion, the emotion associated with it, overrule principle. If you're going to be a person of influence, you got to put your purpose and your principles above your passions. And what are you talking about when I'm talking about passions here? I'm talking about your natural fleshly desires. See, people are misleading people today when they tell them just follow your passion. Because you can have a passion about something that God's not in. Again, I mentioned that earlier. Some of y'all laughing, y'all think it's corny. And that's why I would have been a multi-millionaire doing it, crooner, because there ain't that many black ones. And I would have been the exception to the rule. Okay? But that's something I really had a passion about. I got started that in third grade. A teacher heard I could sing. And so she started bringing the music in and let me sing. And every Friday I sang. And then one time, when I was in fourth or fifth grade, I was in the wedding of Jack and Jill. And the guest soloist at the wedding was Nat King Cole. Smile though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking. For you. But as much as I may have had a passion to do that, that wasn't my calling. Are y'all hearing me? As much as I had a passion to get back to New Jersey and to get back to New York, that I was trying to make that happen, that was not what God wanted me to do. And so many of y'all following your passions and you never stop to do what we were saying on Wednesday night. Seek the Lord to do what Isaiah 60 and Isaiah 61 says, ask at his mouth. Rather than relying on the world system, we never ask the Lord. And so a lot of times our passions can lead us away from purpose and definitely can cause us to violate principles. And as a result of it, you'll lose your influence. Because your influence is connected to God's purpose. Your influence is connected to God's purpose. And so you can be successful over here, but not have the influence on the people God wants you to have the influence on because it's not your purpose. I heard someone say, I was just scrolling past it, so I didn't focus on it, but I remember it stuck with me. They said, you can't create your purpose. God creates your purpose. You can discover purpose. You can walk in purpose. But all you're trying to create purpose, okay? You got to go to the creator of the thing to find out what he wants to do with the thing. Otherwise, the thing is just a thingamajig. Okay? Now, I can come down here and I can stand on this and I can preach on it. Glory to God. I can even tap dance if I want to. But that ain't the purpose of this. This is called abuse. Anytime you use something for what it wasn't intended to do, it's abuse. Some of y'all letting the devil abuse you. You don't think it's hurting anything because it's not causing you physical pain. But it's abuse because you're outside of the use that God wanted for you. And so you got to go to God and say, okay, now what did you have in mind when you created this? Otherwise, you're abusing the thing. Stop abusing your life and stop letting the devil abuse you. Abuse comes from two words, abnormal use. Abnormal use, abuse. And when you are being abused, you are being abnormally used. It's not what God has in mind for you. Go to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, not about the virtuous woman who we still trying to look for, who done worked herself into the grave while the husband's sitting at the gates. She done rose up early. She done bought a field. She done cooked in the middle of the night. She done made all the clothes for all the maidens, and the husband's sitting at the gate. That ain't a good scripture, y'all. Okay? But before we get to that, there's a mother writing to a son, Lemuel. And pick up verse 2 here. King James says, and as I read this here, let me tell you how I was reading it. What? My son? What? The son of my womb? And what? The son of my vows? Say, wait, hold up. You got to know who you belong to. You ain't going to be living there any kind of way. My son? What? My son? My child? You better know your purpose. You better know who you are. Look what he says. Verse 3. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. She's saying that. Don't get caught up with all these women out here. Nor the ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. He said, understand, if you get caught up with drugs and alcohol, he said, it will destroy your purpose. It'll keep you, it'll destroy your influence. He said, now let everybody else may do that. He said, but you a king. Look at somebody and say, you are royalty. First Peter says you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are peculiar people. He said, I know that's what they're doing, but it ain't for kings. I know that's what they're having. Everybody else is living. Everybody else just party all night long until they're drunk and don't know who they went home with and who's just sleeping next to. But that ain't for kings.
Who are you influencing in your everyday life? Are you positively affecting others? Bishop Herbert Bailey will help you to impact those around you and become a person of influence. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for Being a Person of Influence. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433.
Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.